festival. And prevailed upon to open the shoot and then find us running after high school. And that is my younger brother Craig, who was kind enough to spend a little time with us today to discuss some of the members of the Club at Conica. And if you have any questions, you know, okay.
I'm going to discuss here with the individual topic, but one which is also very common, and that is the area of Jews, which has very much to do with the parshas that we're reading right now. There's this parsha, Parsha Galatia, which deals with the Haloma of Yosef, many of the Halomas of the Samash and Sarotin, and in this week's parsha, he deals with the Haloma of the Pop. And what Haloma dreams assume in our mind, especially when we think of the Haggis, as being something which has a certain mystical quality. I'm looking for a tape of someone who was considered himself a follower of the Kabbalah. And he stated emphatically that dreams have prophetic powers that are involved in dreams. And he said, quoted certain Chazal, that Chazal says in dreams 1/16 of the Ruah, and there's a Zohar that says that when a person, anything bad happens to a person, he always sees in the dream before. There are various sources about dreams. I'm sure you've heard of these, including some of them. The one question you have, could not answer, was actually a question that was based on this week's talk. Because in this week's talk, you have a description of the Sarah Mashkin, the Thomas Sarah, how it's troubled in the dream. And then he recounts the whole story that he was in prison with this person, this Eved. The Eved to the Sarah Kabachim, he was in prison with him. And he had a dream, he and the Sarah Oakman, and he describes it. But there's a process in the Shantan of it, Van Sampalo, Van Yifto, Van Sampalo, so you each have a long old process. Then the next verse says, "But you did not share across our Lord who came with us." And it was that as he interpreted the dream, that's exactly how it took place. So they mentioned Chazal on that part. Chazal say that Akol Holek Akahata, or Akahatisma, which means to say every dream always follows the interpretation. So that's what Chazal say. A person has a dream, you should go to someone and they can interpret it to the door. Because the way the person interprets the dream, that's what's going on. And then based on this possibility,
Kasher Pasalon Ken Hoya. Okay, why? Because it said already. What's the repetition? V'shamitam na'ariv riv and asapar lova yiftalon shalom asenu ishkachalom apasar. What's vayihi kasher pasalon ken hoya? So Chazal say it means that the cause of the events was not the dream, but it was the interpretation. I mean, this sounds to us very strange. What does this mean? I mean, it turns out, according to Chazal, that what happened here was, who killed the Sarah Ofim? Yosef. I mean, that's what it means. Because if everything goes according to the interpretation, so then Yosef interpreted the dream of the Sarah Ofim for bad, that he's going to die, and the dream of the Sarah Mashkim, he gave a good interpretation, and because he gave a good interpretation of Sarah Mashkim, so that's why he was restored to his position, and because he gave a bad interpretation of Sarah Ofim, so he was killed? Okay. It sounds strange to us. What exactly does this mean? Chazal, however, qualify the statement. Interesting. They say that that is only true if you interpret the dream in a manner that it makes sense out of the dream. Okay? But not if you just, any dream, you're just going to interpret for good. It's not going to work. But it has to be tied into the dream somehow. Okay? Some kind of some kind of interpretation of the substance of the dream. Can't just be just say it's good. That's not going to help. Okay. But let's understand what exactly are Chazal telling us over here. I think that Chazal are teaching us a very important idea, important concept, and a deep concept in terms of what is meant by halomos, by dreams, interpretations of dreams. I'm sure you're familiar with the halach of the tainus halom. A person has a bad dream, that he should fast, and he must fast on that day, and even if it's Shabbos, he's allowed to fast. Okay. What does Yehadis think about this, the concept of dreams? I mean, does it mean that there's, is it a mystical thing? Is it a rational thing? What exactly does Yehadis hold? And there are various Chazal. Chazal in this area are very conflicting on the surface. Like, for instance, the Gemara says in Gittin that there was a certain apotropos that was taking care of property, and he sold property. And apotropos means where a person dies, leaves you some him, and then someone has to come in and a guardian, so to speak, and he has to take care of the properties. So he was this apotropos was selling the land and buying servants. So the Gemara holds you can't do that. Rav Meir says you're not allowed to do that because you're actually causing the property to lose its value because real estate is more permanent. But then the Gemara says that Rav Meir has saw in a dream the person that was deceased, and based upon what he told him in the dream, he wanted that. That's what he wanted. So the Gemara says Rav Meir said that divrei chalomos lo ma'alin v'lo ma'oridin, and that's it. Doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. So you have statements of Chazal lekan lekan. Divrei chalomos lo ma'alin v'lo ma'oridin doesn't mean anything. Then you have statements of Chazal that seem to indicate there is something prophetic here, that it's echad b'shishim menevuah. So it's a 1/6. What exactly, what did Chazal hold about dreams? I think from this, if we learn carefully this Rashi, this Maimon Chazal, I think we'll get some insight into it. The first step that we have to take is one basic Maimon Chazal. And the basic Maimon Chazal is derived from a pasuk in Daniel. In Daniel, what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was very troubled, similar to Paro. He had a dream. He was troubled. Nobody could explain it to him. And Daniel came, and Daniel started to speak with him and tell him he will be able to interpret it. What exactly it is, he gave him the interpretation. But in the process, he made a certain statement, which the Gemara quotes in Brachos. In the process, he says, "Varayone." He says, "Ant Malka Rayoncho al Mishkevach Sliku." It says that your thoughts went up on your bed, which means to say that the things you were dreaming about are basically things that you were thinking about during the daytime. The way Rashi explains, Rashi says, he says, "Mashehu Hehuri." So Chazal say, "Ein Marin Lo LaAdam Ela Meyehuri Libo." That what do you show? What does God show a person in a dream? Hehuri Libo. What is Hirur Libo, what he thinks about? Mashu Mahar Biyom. Whatever he thinks about in the daytime. Okay. What does it mean, basically? What it means is the person's aspirations. What the person desires and what the person wants is revealed in a dream. That's what Chazal held. Okay. Chazal say that a dream, there's no such thing as a dream without an interpretation. Every dream is subject to interpretation. And Chazal say that that a dream that's not interpreted is like a letter that's unread, which means to say that there's a message here, content, an understanding, an interpretation. Now let's take a look. What does it mean over here when it says that the way Yosef interpreted, that's the way it happened? I mean, it seems from the passage, on the contrary, they had this prophetic dream, and because the dream indicated what's going to happen, Yosef just acted as an interpreter. But the cause was really not his interpretation, but the dream. And now Chazal telling us is the opposite from the pasuk Vayikash Apostle on a Kain Hoyo. But if we take a look carefully at the dreams themselves, we'll see an interesting thing. You see, we'll see an interesting thing. In the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, what does the Sar HaMashkim see in his dream? He sees a geffen, and he sees three vines, and then he sees that the vines are blossoming, and then what happens? Then the grapes emerge, and then what does he do? He says he takes Kos Paro's in his hand, and he takes these grapes, he squeezes them into the Kos of Paro, and he goes and he brings them to his master Paro. Okay? What does that dream signify, basically? What is it? If you had to say in terms of what Chazal say, in Marin lo la'odom elamir huri libo, that you show a person what he desires, what his aspirations are, what does that show, basically? What does it indicate? Exactly. He had a strong desire to serve Paro. Such a strong desire that he goes back, he can't wait till the grapes grow on the tree, and then he goes and he takes these grapes, squeezes them, and he brings them before Paro. It means the man had a desire. His inner desires were really to serve Paro. Okay? Now take a look at the dream of the Sarofen. What is the dream of the Sarofen? The Sarofen just says, there are three baskets on my head. And in the upper basket, from all the food of Paro, myself, a bakery, he's a baker. And what happens? V'ho'of ochel osom min asal me'al roshi. Who was eating the bread? Who was eating the bread? The baked goods? The birds. What does that indicate, basically? What does that indicate? He is not exactly. It shows that he has no desire to serve. He had no desire to serve Paro. It doesn't show him going through the process of a person that's an eved. Chazal say a person should be oved ne'ava, like an eved that loves to serve his master. If an eved loves to serve his master, every part of the process is important to him. Just like by the Sarah Mashkin. He can't wait till the grapes grow. Then he takes and he squeezes them and he gives it and he's happy to present it to his master. Every step is over here, the processes are completely omitted. And suddenly he has this bread, and what happens to the bread? The birds eat it. Doesn't even give it to Paro. You see. That's exactly what Chazal say in Marin lo la'odam ela mehir hurei libo. What the person desires is really expressed in the dream. You see, when Yosef heard the dreams, what Chazal was saying that akol holech achar pisron, what it means to say is that you don't have to make recourse. It wasn't recourse to some kind of supernatural understanding. No. It was Yosef's great chokmah that enabled him to interpret the dream. See, when he heard the dream, he realized, why are these two people in jail? Why are they in prison? Because they're negligence. Okay? The Sar Mashkim, a fly was found in the coast. Sar Ofim, they found a piece of gravel in the baked goods. So the question is it negligence? Or was it accidental? So when Yosef heard the dream, he knew right away that the Sar Mashkim must have been an accident. He said, it must have been an accident. Because he has a deep desire to serve his master. The Sar Ofim, he doesn't want to serve his master. He'd rather the birds eat it, you see. So he knew that with him it was negligence. Now it's interesting. That's how Yosef interpreted the dream. You see, now the question you're going to ask me, of course, is, how did he know? It says shloshes hasarigim, the three vines, shloshes yomim, and shloshes hasalim is also 3 days. How did Yosef know that? I mean, that has nothing to do with the wish. That's the future. That's just forecasting the future. So what's the answer? Again, you have to look carefully in the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Vayhi bayom hashlishi yom hu ledes esparo. Vayas mishtel achol avodov, vayisu as rosh sar mashkim ves rosh sar ofim besoch avodov. Okay, what kind of, so you see Paro had a birthday party. But the birthday party of Paro wasn't like the birthday parties that we have today. See, a birthday party today is, people are happy, how old are you, this, that, okay, etc. But Paro's birthday party was more serious. Because you see, Paro's birthday party, that was the day that he would judge the people. You see, he would judge the people on that day. Why? Because what is a birthday? See, when a person has, we don't have birthdays. In Yahadis birthday, we don't have a concept of birthdays. On the contrary, we don't have Yom HaLetus, we say Yom HaMiso, so we have a Yahrzeit. Because the Pasuk says that the that the Yom HaMavis is more important than Yom Yivoldo. Because Yom Yivoldo, when a person is born, there's a lot of possibilities and fantasies, but nothing has been accomplished. But Yom HaMavis is when you see what the person's life was really like. So we don't have birthdays, we have Yotzim. But Paro had birthday. What is a birthday? A birthday means a person ascribes, because this time, this day he was born, he ascribes a cosmic importance to his personal life. You see? Now, Paro, as you know, was not a person that suffered from an inferiority complex. He held he was a god, as a matter of fact. That's what the pharaohs thought they were gods. So, on his birthday, his birthday to him meant that he assumes cosmic importance. This was the day of his whole malchus, you see. Now, what does he have? He expresses his cosmic importance. He judges the people. He's the judge. He's the overall judge of the whole world. He's a god in his eyes. So his birthday was a serious birthday. It wasn't just a birthday party to have fun. See, it was a birthday party which had meaning, expressed what he thought of himself personally. Okay, and he judged the people. Okay, now you can understand very well how Yosef deduced that the three vines are 3 days. Why? Because if you just think about it, obviously this wasn't Paro's first birthday. Okay? And these two people were in jail. They knew they were in serious trouble. And what else did they know? They knew that in a few days, Paro has his birthday. That's a serious day. So in the back of their minds, they were concerned what's going to happen in 3 days. That's how Yosef knew precisely what the 3 days were. He put it together. He saw the three as they're concerned what's going to happen in 3 days. And then he saw each one, what was going on in their mind, in relationship to how they feel about their master. Okay. But so far, we don't have the Pisron doesn't come into the picture. What does it mean that the Pisron plays a role? What it means is like this. See, when you learn the Pesukim, you have to fill in the gaps. What the Pasuk means is like this. That when Yosef told the interpretation to each one of them, you see, it struck them. It struck them as true. Now when it struck them as true, something happened to their personality. The personality of the Sar HaMashkim became happy because he saw, yes, that's right. I really am a loyal servant. And when a servant feels that he's loyal, he has great hope that the master will see this loyalty expressed in his personality. And he felt confident, you see. When the Sarah Ophim received the bad interpretation, on the contrary, he became very, very upset, very disturbed, because he knew deep down that was really his true feelings, you see. So then what happened when Paro had his birthday? So he called them in. No doubt he spoke to them. I mean, after all, he must have considered himself a just judge. So he spoke to them. And what did he see? He saw this, in one of them, he saw a confident personality, a personality that was at ease, that was happy with himself, that wanted to continue in his work. So that's why he returned him to his job. But the other one, he saw a disturbed personality, someone who was worried, fearful. He was upset. Paro recognized in that kind of disturbance wasn't because of Anivis, it was because he harbors certain thoughts against him. And that Pisron really was responsible for the destruction of the Sar HaOfen. That's what Chazal teaches us. So Chazal teaches us an unbelievable thing. They teach us that a dream expresses, that's in the Pasuk in Daniel, a dream expresses the ideas, the wishes, the desires of the personality, and the Pisron, you see, the interpretation furthers, if it's along the proper lines, it furthers the acceptance of what the dream means and finalizes it, stamps the person with those type of feelings. And once that's done, then that's it. He can't escape anymore. Who knew this idea about dreams? That dream is rayonos libo, that a dream expresses a person's wish? We find this before in the Torah. There were people that knew that idea. That knew that idea before. Where? Who knew it? Do you know, does anybody, Can anybody say, who knew this idea that we're saying right now? The idea that the dream really expresses the inner wishes of the person. Yes? In the Torah. Where do you see personalities in the Torah that knew this very idea? Openly, almost openly in the Pasuk. Who? Yaakov, yes, because it says Vav Hashem Hasdar, but before Yaakov. You don't even need that. The brothers. The brothers of Yosef. You see, it's an interesting thing. The brothers of Yosef, why did they hate Yosef? They hated him. Okay, he was a... The Pasuk tells us that they hated him. Why? Because the father made him Exonus Pasim. He was a favorite. And of course, every child that is not a favorite hates the favorite. That's the natural thing. Jealous. Person cannot help himself. He's jealous by nature. And the Achim were jealous of Yosef. But you notice an interesting thing. They were jealous, true. And he actually encouraged the jealousy with the way he acted. He brought the Basam Ra Leviam, okay. He caused. But the worst thing was not that. The worst thing, the thing that finalized the hatred was what? The dreams. Exactly. How do you know that it was the dreams that really finalized the hatred that the brothers had for Yosef, and not the fact that he was just a favorite son? How do you, how could you prove it from the Pasuk? Okay, that's very good. Because it says Vayisna. That's very good, very good. Vayisna also, first it says that, for first the Pasuk says that, actually it's like this. It says, Vayisna sova lo yochlu dabro lo shalom. Okay. And then it says, after the dream, it says, Vayisifu otsno oso al chalomoso vi al devarov. Okay. Yes, it's true. The Pasuk does indicate there was more sinner. But there's another Pasuk that tells you that it was the dreams that really bothered him more than anything else. Which is the Pasuk? No, not that kind of Vachov. Later. What happened later? What happened later was the brothers went to Shechem for the Tzon. And, you know, I mean, you know, the Rav mentions several times, he says, sometimes the gaps in the Torah are shocking. Which is true. The Torah a lot of times has gaps. You wish there was something to fill in. You're looking for something. Can't fill in the gaps. But sometimes, at other times, what happens, the Torah is so precise in depicting every step of what's taking place in the picture. And that's the case over here, really. Take a look at Vayesha, you see. What happened was like this. The brothers hated him. Now, the brothers went to Shechem. Why did they go to Shechem? What was the purpose of going to the Shechem? Because of the flocks of sheep, to pasture the sheep. Okay. So, but you take a look. The Pasuk says like this. Vayelchu echov liros es tzon aviyem b'shechem. And the S has dots on it. What do Chazal say those dots mean? It says they really did not go for the tzon. They went for themselves. They went to eat and to drink. Why? Because they were very disturbed. They were disturbed about whom? About Yosef. By Yosef, his favor, the favoritism and the dreams. Okay? That's what it says. Two elements. So they really went to Shechem, not for the sheep. That was an excuse. They went there because they were disturbed, they were bothered, and they had to get away. Get away and just involve themselves in what was disturbing them. Discuss it, talk about it, think about it. They were involved. It was something that was a natural thing for them, given their state. Then what happens? All of a sudden, Yaakov says, what's a... The brothers are your brothers on Shechem. He tells Yosef, he says, go find out what's happening over there in Shechem. You see? Now here you see the Torah setting up the scene, step by step. First he's a favorite, then he has the dreams. Then the brothers are disturbed and they go to Shechem and they're thinking about him constantly. The hatred is just brewing. Okay? And then Yaakov tells Yosef, go and find out how your brothers are doing, go to Shechem. Okay? And Yosef instinctively knew this is not good. He says, Hineni. Hineni means he has to do it, even though he didn't want to do it. And you see how much he didn't want to do it because he got lost on the way. You see? He got lost on the way to such an extent that basically what happened to him, when a person's lost, so you find someone to give you, to show you the way. But over there, he couldn't even find anybody. It says, Vayimtzo Ehu Ish. Somebody else found him. And Chazal say that that was that was a malach. Means to say it was direct hashgacha, hashgachas Hashem. But he was toa basad, he was lost, because he knew this is not good. He sensed this is not good. Yet, he had to fulfill his father, the tzivri of his father. So he was completely lost. And then he comes, and as soon as he comes and they see him, what happens? What do they say? What do they say? Then they don't call him by name. What do they say? Ah, exactly. Hine balachalomos halozeba. Who's coming? Not the favorite son, not the son of the Xonus Pasan, the balachalomos. Why? Because they recognized in those dreams that those dreams were his desire. So he desired, HaMaloch, Timloch Aleinu, HaMashal, Tim Shabbana. That's what you want. That's why you're having those dreams. He's a Rasha. You see? That's what they maintain. They maintain he's a Bala Chalomos. So they knew the secret also. That Chalomos indicates what a person really desires. And that's why Vayosifu Otsno. So Al Chalomos of the Al Devarav. But of course, it's interesting, I mean, to see how the Torah depicts so beautifully how the Hashgacha works. How does the Hashgacha work? See, the Hashgacha doesn't, Hashgacha never comes in and changes a person's mind. This, it says, the Pasuk says, me'emek Chevron, that Yaakov Avinu sent them from the valley of Chevron. So Chazal asks, Chevron is not in the valley, it's on a mountain. So Chazal say, no, it has another meaning. The meaning is, the Amek from the Tzaddik that was Yoshev in Chevron, which was Avram, that God told him, Ge Yezarcho Beretz Lo Lohem. That was the beginning of the whole concatenation of events that took place that brought Klal Yisrael down to Mitzrayim in order to Mekayim Vachrechein Yetzir Ruchesh Gadol, the bris man absorb. So how does the Hashgacha work? The Hashgacha works with a person's emotions. In other words, here you see the brothers had these emotions of hatred towards Yosef. The hatred was there. The Hashgacha gave Yosef Chalomos. Chalomos made it worse. Then they were brewing, and the Hashgacha moved in again. And Yaakov sent them, Vayishlacheyu me'emek chevro. These are the steps of the Hashgacha. But you see the way the Hashgacha works? It doesn't change a person's mind. God could have simply made the people decide to go down to Mitzrayim. What do you have to have all this for? What's the answer? The answer is the Hashgacha never works outside the realm in a supernatural way. It works in line with a person's emotions. If a person decides to hate someone and the Hashgacha intervenes, it'll operate based on that premise which he made with his Bechira. B'derech shadam rotza lelech, molich naso. But he is the one that determines. He, through his Bechira Choshes, he determines which way to go. The Hashgacha merely works on his Bechira. And that's precisely what the Torah depicts here. How their Bechira was to hate him, and that's why they were in that situation, and the Hashgacha made use of that. But you see, the brothers knew also this secret, this idea, that Chalomos indicate the personality. Indicate what the person wants. And with this in mind, I would like to explain some of the Maimori Chazal that deal with Chalomos. Okay? You see, Chazal say really interesting, amazing things about dreams, which if a person listens carefully and understands them, can gain a tremendous insight into the human personality. It's also halacha. You see, when we say chalom has a prophetic content, of course, that's true. For instance, over here, in the dream, the dream, Yosef's chalomos were prophetic. True. But again, what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar is true, that the Ein Malon Lo La'odom Ela Mehirhurei Libo, it means first there must be this desire in the person, and then if that desire is in the person, you see, then there can be an element of Nevuah in it. Just like in the Hashgacha. The Hashgacha works with regard to the person's Derech HaChayim that he has chosen for himself, and then the Hashgacha moves in. The same thing is true in Chalamos. Of course, most people aren't zochet to such chalamos. Most people don't have such chalamos. But there are chalamos like that. You see, there are chalomos. And when the chalomos are like that, they still work in the framework of the person's natural desires. Okay, so you'll say, fine, that's very nice. But the question is, so what does it have to do with us, basically? What does it have to do with our personal lives? We have halacha of tainus chalom. What does tainus chalom mean? A person has a bad dream, so he's supposed to fast. Why should he fast? Because he thinks it's a prophetic dream? I mean, these are very few people who have prophetic dreams. Most dreams are dvar b'tel. But why should he fast? It's interesting. There's another chazal. The Gemara says, chazal say, that a person, the chazal say this, that a bad dream is better than a good dream. Amazing. It's an amazing thing. A bad dream is better than a good dream. Now, those people who interpret dreams as simply being mystical and nothing more, on the contrary, what do you mean a bad dream is better than a good dream? Well, Chazal say, again, they say, a person that's a tzaddik doesn't see good dreams. He sees bad dreams. And a person that's a rasha sees good dreams. What does that mean? I mean, if it's prophetic, it should be just the opposite. Contrary. So Rashi explains. He says, a bad dream is good because it causes a person to do tshuva, he says. A good dream doesn't. He says, a tzaddik, they show bad dreams in order to be machzir b'tshuva. What it means is like this. It means that everybody has inner desires. And really, dreams expresses the whole philosophy of Yahadus. You could tie the whole philosophy of Yahadus into dreams. Because a person is never nenash for his chalamos. Everybody has desires. Good desires, bad desires. A bus of Adam must have dreams. There's no other way about it. But what the person is judged upon is what he does with those desires. You see, in a bad dream, when a person is frightened from a bad dream, it's a wonderful opportunity for a person to be chozer b'tshuva. So Yahadus made use of this opportunity. Because it's a time when a person withdraws from reality and suddenly is frightened about something within himself. So what Chazal say is, it could very well be that the fright is based upon certain desires that the person recognizes are not good. So what should the person do? That's what Chazal say. It's a beautiful Chazal. Chazal say, if you saw a bad dream, you should do three things. And it's removed. What are the three things? Tefillah, tshuva, and tzedakah. Okay? Tefillah, tshuva, and tzedakah. Mavir yisro gzera. So you see, Chazal, with their depth and understanding of the human personality, took this opportunity where a person has a bad dream. It means his desires are not in line with the highest level. What should he do? What should he do with it? He should be chazer b'tshuva. It's an opportunity. So much so that he can even mevatel Shabbos. He can fast on Shabbos because of that. You see? But only that day, by the way. Only that day. Because the reason is because Chazal knew something else. And that is that every time a person goes to sleep and he gets up the next day, it's a different state of mind. And the next day when you go to sleep, you're not the same person again. You see? And that must be true. So therefore, it's only that day. That's why a lot of fast on Shabbos goes. Can't do it. That's a fact. I mean, certain people have discovered that even just through analyzing psychological phenomena. But Chazal had it many years ago. Now, what Chazal say is like this: that a person, you see, an individual, should have it interpreted for good. What does it mean, interpreted for good? That's precisely what it means. Interpreted for good means, but it has to be me'ein ha'chalom. You can't just say it's good. That's not going to help you. But interpreted for good means it's based on an important principle in Yahadus. Yahadus says, for instance, that if a person has an aggressive desire, murderous desires, so what does Chazal say? He should become a shochet. It means because Yahadus maintains that there's no desire that a person has that's intrinsically bad. But the person has to not deny the desire. You see, that would be not to interpret the dream. No, interpret it, understand it, but be posel atov. It means take that energy and channel it towards something good. Okay? And that's basically, that's why the Pisron, akol holechacha, Pisron. That's why Chazal say that. Because the Pisron is so important, because the Pisron is the direction of the energy. You see, the person, every person has good dreams and bad dreams. And he's not, there's nothing wrong with having bad dreams. And it's a part of the instinctual makeup of man. That's Ki Yetzaleh V'Odom Ra Menurov. But what is bad? What is bad is if the person neglects it, to neglect it, not to recognize it, and not to take that energy and channel it for the good. That's basically what Yahadus maintains, and it really is the underlying philosophy of Yahadus. So what I want to tell you today is that the Torah is really the greatest source of chokhmah that man has, insofar as understanding the human personality and understanding Derech HaChayim. And what I am critical of, I mean, I heard that Rabban Soloveitchik was here, and someone asked him something about Kabbalah, and he said, "I am not a Mekubal." So Rabban Soloveitchik is a great onov. I would say this, the difference between him and the other people who maintain they are Mekubalim is that he knows he's not a Mekubalim. Today there's a tendency to run to Kabbalah, mystical interpretations. Mystical interpretations, first of all, we have a Masorah that a person is not permitted to engage in the study of Kabbalah until he's a Baki B'Shas, a Baki in Yedias and Baki in Eon. Okay? A person who violates that and goes to the mystical, you see, is on a road to destruction. They're simply on the road to destruction. Not on the road to destruction, but they'll fail to see the Chochmas HaTorah, which can take a person and teach him how to exercise his Bechira properly. Miss the whole point of the Derech HaChayim. Okay? So what I am telling you, as young Talmidim, what I'm telling you to do is to spend your time in understanding Chochmas HaTorah. Chochmas HaTorah in terms of giving you the proper Derech HaChayim. Because there is no subject, no course in the world that will ever teach you how to live. Any course that you will take when you go to college or elsewhere will only be as a means. A means for a job, profession, whatever it might be, you see. But to live itself, which is the goal of every profession and every endeavor, there is nothing that will ever teach you that besides Chochmas HaTorah. So at this point in your lives, you have to take advantage of the opportunity of learning Torah with Chochmah. Not escaping into mystical understanding, but to really learn in depth the ideas that the Torah contains in teaching us how to live. And teaching Chochmas HaTorah and Chochman so far as the Derech HaChayim is concerned. Any questions? No. He knew. That's true. Stand. I mean, your question is a good question, but you have to understand the answer to your question explains other things as well. You see, the other question, of course, is the famous question, is why didn't Yosef send a letter? He was in Mitzrayim. Why didn't he send a letter to his father? And he's still alive. You see? Why? It's a big kasha. There's no one that really gives a basic answer. But I think with your question, you can answer both questions. The reason is that Yaakov Avinu never thought that he realized the Achim were jealous, but never that they would kill him, but that they would attempt to kill him or sell him as an Eved. And Yosef knew this too. Yosef knew that too. That's why Yosef never sent any information back to Yaakov. Because if he knew, if he did that, it would destroy the whole base Yaakov. Destroy him. Because he would not be able to conceive them as doing such a thing. And that's why he never sent the letter to his father, never sent anything, because he knew that would be the destruction of Yaakov. Destruction of the whole base Yaakov. But that's true. He did not. Yaakov definitely did not think that the sinner had reached such proportions that they would engage in thinking about killing him. And you can understand why. Because you see, the Achei Yosef, the Shiftei Ka, were on a very high level. And people that are on a high level don't disclose everything about what's going on in their inner self. And they never would show you what's going on inside them. They handle it on their own. People that are, that average people, anything happens, they discuss it. Great people are silent. They're quiet. Things go on inside them because they want to think about it, and they're not ready to think about it. And the Achei Yosef were the same way with their father. This tremendous Eretz kavod and yirah for him. They would never disclose what's going on in their minds. As a matter of fact, you see what they do. They felt that they had to raise chukkas and they had to do the sky. So that would be the end of. They knew he wouldn't be able to tolerate such a thing. Okay. Okay, how do you know the power was going to? It's a good question. How do you know for sure? What you're saying is like this. See, and it's interesting. The Ramban says that when Yosef went over to the Sar Mash Sar Ofim, he says that was really a very brazen move. Because he says these people were very high level people. Who is he to go over to them? If they complain about him, they'd have him killed. So he says he was botach b'chochmasa, Ramban says. He was secure in his knowledge. Now, the way he interpreted the dream was based upon his knowledge. In other words, he knew the depth of the human personality. He knew what was going on in these people's minds, you see. And he knew that the interpretation is going to result in taro, and he interrogates them in causing a certain personality type, which is going to cause the effect that took place. Okay? That he knew purely al-pi-chachma. But the Pasuk says, halo le-lokim pisronim. So apparently there was some kind of divine inspiration involved in his interpretation. So my concept is that the divine inspiration comes in after the chachma. In other words, he figured it out and he saw exactly what probably would take place, and then he sensed through Ruach HaKodesh that this is going to happen. Actually. Because to say that this is going to happen, that the person would be great as Chacham, but I can't predict exactly. But what I'm trying to show you is that the Ruach HaKodesh, the prophetic Halola Lekim Pishronim, you see, only works if there's a system of Chachma underlying first. Without Chachma, that's not. That's just imagine. It's based upon Chachma. When the person strikes the right idea, then he can, if he is worthy, then he could know whether it's actually going to take place or not. What's logic could happen? And he could die in it. Right? Okay. Good question. Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay, I'll have to come back and give another shiur on that. But I do have a shiur on that. Paro's dream also. Same thing. If there's time, if we have time, maybe I'll come back and I'll give you the shiur on that one too. I'll show you exactly, precisely. Yeah, that's exactly. It's true. It's true in that dream too. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yaakov, it says on the contrast, Yaakov sensed, Raviv Shomar Sadova, because Yaakov maintained. You see, if you take a look, it says, the Yisrael Oaves Yosef Mikol Bonov, ki ben Zekunim. What does Uncle translate Zekunim? He says that he was a Chacham. He was a Chacham. What does it mean? Why did Uncle go away from the plain shot? He had him in his old age. What the answer like this. The answer is because Yaakov of the Ovos had emotions. Just like everybody has emotions. Human being has emotions. Yaakov had a love for his son. Avram loved Yishmael. So a person has feelings for his child. But Yaakov could never love Yosef if he weren't a Chacham. Yosef was a fool, as much as he had importance, it was the son of Rachel, it wouldn't mean anything. He had to be a Chacham. He saw in him unusual Chacham. Then the emotion could be Chal. Then he can enjoy the emotion. So that's why he loved him, and he saw in him unusual qualities. So when he heard the dream, It says, Shomar Asadavar. You recognize this is not just aspirations. There's a basis for this aspiration. There's a mukka for it. He is really an unusual person. And he thought in his mind it could be that there's an element of nevuah attached to this desire of his. Because as we explained, the theory of Chazal in dreams is that dreams both, it's Rayonos Libo, but then there's also in certain individuals at certain times a prophetic element that has to fit in to that substructure. You see, you understand what I mean? It's not just purely prophetic, it's tied in like Daniel says. It means that it's tied into the person, but that's the way it works. Yaakov even knew that subject. He knew that idea. So he knew it was his aspirations. He knew that. But he knew also that this could be, there's an element of the world, because he really is such a person that is roy for this kind of a for this kind of a halam. Just like Yosef knew by the Sarah Mashkin Sarah Ofen that this should be what happens. If I had to predict, he said, this is what would probably take place. Okay? Yeah. When Yosef met Paro, that was an unbelievable meeting. Because when Yosef met Paro, and he explained, see the Chartumim, the way they interpret dreams, they do it in a mystical way. Completely mystical way. They say it means this, it means that. They try to attach it to some kind of mystical idea. No chachma. You see? That's the method of the primitive way. The Chatumim, the way they did it, was purely on a mystical basis. And they gave him certain signs to see if it sometimes, you know, a person, oh, that sounds good, they accept it. Okay, it just happened, they accept it. But over here, it didn't work. He knew there was something deeper there. When Yosef interpreted, Yosef hid his emotions. And he disclosed to him with Chachma what his emotions are, and actually what's going to happen, what's going to take place, is very much in line with what he with his emotion. When Yosef HaTzadik said that you should appoint somebody, so what did he say? So what did Paro say? He says, "A navon v'chacham kamacha." Didn't call him a great. He didn't call him a mystic. Didn't call him a machashef. Didn't say you're a great astrologer. He didn't say that. He says, "A navon v'chacham kamacha." Yosef converted Paro from the world of the mystical to the world of chacham. That's a very interesting thing. There's two times in the Torah where you have that expression, "Navon v'chacham." You have it over here. In combination, there's another place we have it. It says, "Ki chachmaschem uvinaschem la'enei ha'amim." That's what the pasuk says in Zvarim. That's precisely what Paro said. Ein novam v'chacham kamacha. You see? Because he saw in Yosef a whole new way of life, a way of chachma, where interpretation of dreams goes into the personality. And it's true, there's a prophetic element. But the prophetic element isn't extraneous, it's just a part of the person's rayonos. When he saw that, he knew, that's true. He was converted to a whole new way of life. As a matter of fact, there's no doubt that he abandoned his gods, and he followed Yosef's whole philosophy. And there's mistafa to say that he accepted the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Makes sense because he was completely enthralled by Yosef. Whether he remained later by that's a separate question. But at the time, he was completely overcome, and he was converted to the whole idea of Chochmas Hashem. He saw a whole new approach, a new dimension. Yeah. Correct. Oh, because, you see, the psukim, the Rishonim and Chazal always teach us that the psukim do not describe every little thing that took place. You have to read between the lines in order to be able to dig out what took place. But if you study the parsha carefully in the case, you'll see that what happened over there was that Yosef didn't just interpret a dream. He won him over completely, his whole Derech HaChayim. And Paro really abandoned his Derech HaChayim at that point, and he was converted to the Derech HaChayim of Yosef. As it says, Atati al Basi, ein novon l'chacham kamocha, and basically what Yosef HaTzadik did with the first one ever to start a rationing system and to preserve the wheat, and he did it in a way that no one else could do it. Because you see what happened was, later the Mitzvah tried to do it also. You know, because after he studied the ration, the Mitzvah tried to do it also, it didn't work. Because Yosef used tremendous chachma, preserving, why do you say,
Atatiel Basi and the Novel Chachm Gemara, because Paro knew that to preserve wheat for a whole country for 7 years is not an easy endeavor. You can't be a fool. You have to start learning, studying preservation of wheat. How does wheat last? What type of place to put it in? How are you going to organize this whole thing? It takes tremendous chachma. So that's why he realized that the way to go is not the way of magic and superstition. The way to go is the way of chachma. So he appointed him to take care of his job. He realized what Yosef taught him was that God can give a person a certain kind of knowledge by way of prophecy. But after they get that knowledge, they're on their own. That's it. If they don't take advantage of the situation, they're going to fail. That's what Yosef taught him. That's what Yehadis teaches a person. What does Yehadis teach a person? Yehadis teaches a person, not that a person should just lay back and just, God will make it rich or poor or whatever. Yehadis tells a person, no, that a person has potential, but if he doesn't exercise the potential, he's not going to become a London just by, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make him a London. He's not going to work that way. He has to work at it. And if he doesn't, he lost the opportunity. And the same thing with the Derech HaChayim all around. Whether it's a person's working in Parnassa, whatever a person's doing must be guided by Chachma. That's the person's assignment in this world. He must use Chachma insofar as his time is concerned, insofar as his energies are concerned, and that's the whole Derech HaChayim that Yosef taught Paro. When Paro saw it, he said, you're right. He said, so now I have this information. So what am I going to do now? If I don't take the opportunity, if I don't use Chachma here, we're going to be ruined. We'll be destroyed. So he says, you're the Chacham, you're the one that's going to do it. So his whole Derech HaChayim was changed. The previous Derech HaChayim was predictions. He said, you have 7 children, 7 daughters, 7 this, 7 that. He recognized that's all nonsense. Yeah, Chazal said. Now, I'll tell you what, this a bad dream. You see what Chazal is. You can't make a person fast every day. I mean, I'll give you an example. You see this halacha of tshuva, right? So when are you supposed to tshuva? Every day. Chazal say, person doesn't know. Person has to do tshuva. The person has tshuva before he dies. Chazal say, no one knows when they're going to die. Chazal say, no. So you see, you have to do tshuva every day. But so why do you have aseres yemei tshuva? Why do you have aseres yemei tshuva for? You're supposed to tshuva every day. What's the answer? Apparently there's a difference between the tshuva that a person does on a constant basis. That's one kind of tshuva. But then sometimes a person has to stop everything, pull himself out of what he's doing, and designate the whole time for tshuva. That's a different kind of tshuva. Okay? So the same thing is true over here with regard to a dream. The only time, you can't make a person every time he dreams, every day he's going to fast. I mean, this is nonsensical. But what Chazal said was only a certain kind of dream which disturbs the personality. You see, first of all, because he can't do it without a dream, and secondly, that kind of a dream that a person has when he's really disturbed causes a person to remove himself from his involvement in the outside world. That's what it does. What does it do? A person wakes up from a nightmare and they're frightened. What happens? He can't think about his business, can't think of what he has to do, can't think about his homework, can't think about anything. He's completely overcome. He's thinking about himself. So Chazal say that is two things. First of all, that's the time when you're thinking about yourself, to use that energy towards tshuva, number one. And two, probably the reason why he had such a disturbing dream is because some part of him, which is not something that he's willing to accept about himself, it could be some kind of a desire which he realizes is not good, is frightening him, is the source of his fright. So that's precisely the time where the person should think into it, analyze it, and direct the energy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. That's correct. Chazal say that. If the person, that's Chazal say. That's one of the answers Chazal say. That you don't necessarily have to fast. The person could go. If it doesn't, depends on the kind of a dream. If it really is disturbing, then a person should be chosen to sleep. Because that's an opportunity to fast. But ordinarily, you can take his chaverim, sit down, discuss it with him, and they should be posted to tell. But posted to tell just when you say good, good. Chazal say, it has to be something that makes sense in terms of the dream. Because then the person gains insight into his personality and can use those energies latov, you see? So it has to be something which accomplishes something like that. Just say good, good doesn't mean it's not sensible. Okay? Yeah. They don't want worried. They just said that shows you the extent of his, that shows you the extent of how bad a person he is. because this is all his aspirations are, to rule over us. That clinched it. Because before they saw he was a little bit haughty, you know, he was a favorite with the father, and he was talking with the father against them. But they tolerated. But then they saw the dream, they said, this guy is not just, this isn't just a minor thing. This is his preoccupation. He wants to rule over us. That's the kind of person. It's a Russia. So that's when they clinched their interpretation of his personality. Then they said, this is what he is. Dvar Batalim, when you say Jim's Batalim, that's not true. There's no thing, Dvar Batalim, if you mean Dvar Batalim insofar as Nivu is concerned, yes. But they're never Dvar Batalim insofar as revealing the personality. That's what Chazal say, any Jewish sign interpreter is like a letter that's not written, that's not read. Like a letter that's sealed. Okay? So insofar as the personality, is always an interpretation. Always. Ein chalom below pisro. That's what Chazal say. There's no such thing as a dream that cannot be interpreted. Every dream is subject to interpretation because it shows the personality. What I'm telling you is not the Kabbalah. There's not a Kabbalistic interpretation. I'm not giving Kabbalistic interpretation. Kabbalah is something else altogether. What I'm telling you is there is an interpretation through Chochmah. And I'm telling you, this is one clue I want to tell you. That anyone that holds up the banner of Kabbalah and mysticism with regard to the areas of the Torah is holding up the banner of ignorance. I'll tell you why, and I'll prove it to you. Let's say, for instance, an eclipse. Okay, there were times when people were frightened about an eclipse. It was a frightening thing. Okay, why they attach some mystical importance to the eclipse? This means something bad. Bad omen. Something bad's gonna happen. Right? Does anyone today believe that? No. Why not? Because we understand rationally how it works. We know precisely what an eclipse is and how it works. So you see that when why don't they retain the old interpretation? So you see when a human being has before his mind two interpretations, one is a mystical one, the other one is a natural one, he will always choose the natural one. He will not choose the natural. Otherwise, he still has to believe in the mystical powers of eclipses. So what I'm telling you is, do not be influenced, bizmanazah, I've noticed, people who cannot learn a Pasuk Chumash and Rashi are learning Kabbalah. It's all nonsense. Do not be fooled by that. That's a banner of ignorance. And when you understand what Chazal say in the deep ideas of Chazal, okay, sometimes you might not understand it. It takes many years to have the depth of understanding. But don't attach ignorant ideas to Chazal. Chazal is saying deep lessons about life. Yeah. That's a good question. You know what the answer is? No human being can be that honest. That's the answer. That's the correct answer. An important point. That every person harbors parts of their personality that they aren't facing. The Gemara says, it's a Chazal really. The Gemara says in Sukkah, that La'osid Lavo, that when Mashiach comes and the Yetzer Hara will be destroyed, that Tzaddikim will cry and Rishayim will cry. Why will they both cry? The Rishayim are going to cry because they'll say, we lived a crazy life, it was so simple, our minds told us we're destroying our lives. Why don't we stop? Why don't we live according to Chachma? So they'll cry. Why do the Tzaddikim cry? The Gemara says, because the Tzaddikim will realize how difficult it was, how painful and difficult it was to overcome the Yetzer Hara. See, they'll see a different thing. They'll see the Yetzer Hara was more deeply rooted than they thought. And that's your question. The answer is because the Yetzer, the inner drives of man, are very deep. They run very deep. And no person knows really all his kochos and nefesh. It's impossible to do it. You can go deeper and deeper, but completely is impossible. Even the tzaddikim don't realize how deep the Yetzer is. The Yetzer is called tzfuni, hidden. It's hidden inside of man. And it's not something that's visible or detectable to the human mind. Okay? Yeah. It was. He was. No, nothing wrong with it. That's it. You're not supposed to be. Yeah. Yes.
So, When they said it?
Yes.
Nah. Not Pesach.
So why
Why did it happen that way? That's a good question. That answers your question. There are certain chazal, and that I have to give a separate shiur. There are certain chazal which show that statements, even from people that are not, that are many chazal like that, that are not, don't have chachma, but the statements somehow have some truth in them. I can give you kind of a mushel. I'm not going to go into each one of these things. I'd have to give a special shiur on that, but I'll just give you a mushel of something like that. Give you an example. Like, for instance, primitive people believed that the sun, they worship the sun. Why? Because they believe the sun is the source of all life. Okay? Were they wrong? Yes, of course they were wrong. But they weren't completely wrong, because it is true that without the sun, this planet can't function. So in a way, they happen to be right. You understand what I mean? Again, let's say, for instance, you have something that's contagion, right? Contagious diseases. Now, primitive people are always afraid of touching things. They have a whole system of contagion. Are they wrong? Yeah, they're wrong, because it's not based on any science or anything, but it just happens that it's true also. You understand what I mean? There is such a thing, but not the way they think. Okay? You understand what I mean? So a lot of times, there's a coincidence. It seems like they coincide, but they're not precise. It's not precise. That's the same thing that happens over there. That sometimes a person could be a fool, but he could still hit something in a certain way that's not exactly right, but there is some truth to it. Okay? Yeah. Sarofim, you mean? I don't know whether they could have saved them. Let me put it this way. What Chazal is saying is that the interpretation finished the farm. He didn't have a chance after that. Because once he became disturbed and started recognizing his inner feelings, he'd never make it when he, on a personal interview with Paro, is finished. So what do you think? Could have said, that wouldn't have said, no, I'm saying that's not true. I'm not saying that whatever he said was going to happen. That's not what Chazal mean. So I'm telling you, I know. Because Yosef saw his inner desires. Okay, and he knew he was guilty. So first of all, he knew he was guilty from the dream. Okay? Secondly, he saw he was a disturbed personality. And when he gave him the interpretation, he knew that'd make him further disturbed. So he knew he didn't have a chance in the interview with Paro, he's going to get killed. I mean, he knew it from Chachma. Okay? Yeah, but apparently you have to know the politics of the land of the country. Apparently he knew when this kind of an offense, Paro kills the person. If he's really guilty, if he never puts a stone in his food, he knew that a king kills for that. He doesn't give him a 5-year sentence on that one. Okay. All right? Okay.